Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter? We're already there at 1 Peter if you had turned there. But chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you dependent. We come before you humbly. We come before you realizing that without you, we can't do anything and we can't even understand your word. And so we yield to your spirit. We yield to your word. We yield to you as our Father. And Lord, we want to hear from you today. If there are areas of sin that are in our lives, I do pray that we would be quick to confess that even now. And may we depend upon you. I do pray if there are burdens or cares that we're carrying, that we would cast those things upon you, knowing that you care for us. Lord, thank you for the truths of your word. And I do pray that your precious spirit would teach us from your word today. I know that I have nothing to offer that's really of any value of myself, but I know that your word is truth and your word is full of hope and life. And so I pray that you would teach us from your word. We want to hear from you tonight. I do pray that you would challenge us and maybe even encourage us from your word. Lord, I know that we come to church on a Sunday and are often battered down by the things of this world. And so I do pray that you would expose areas where maybe we've let down our guard. Maybe we've depended upon ourselves and not you. I do pray that you would show us those areas. And I do pray that you would help us to live in a way that's honorable before you. Help us to realize our position with Jesus Christ. Help us to realize our position as part of a royal family. I do pray that you would just speak to us now. Lord, we need your help. We desire that you would speak to us and may you use your word in a mighty way. Please give a specific application to each of our lives. And I do pray that you would challenge us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the book of 1 Peter, and I know many of you do too. But Peter is writing to various believers scattered throughout Asia Minor. And one of the main themes is the believer living a holy life. If you look at chapter 1, in verse 14, you see, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is what? Holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in every area of your conduct or behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And so we see in 1 Peter that he's addressing believers and encouraging us in our walk with God. And God has called us to holiness. And yet, we don't often live that way. Is that true in your life? We struggle with that, right? And so a letter like this is very applicable then when it was written, but certainly applicable for us today. Let's jump over to chapter 2 and look at verse 11. Notice how he addresses them in verse 11. He calls them dearly beloved. Certainly a sign of affection that he had for those believers. But he beseeches them in a certain way. And notice what how he beseeches them or challenges them. He beseeches them as strangers and pilgrims. And notice what he says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Folks, notice how he's addressing the believers. He's addressing them as strangers, meaning they're not foreigners, or they're not citizens. They're foreigners in this land. And yet, folks, I would admit to you that I don't often view myself as a foreigner. Do you view yourself as a foreigner in this land, this world that we live in? Often as a believer, my flesh wants to get very comfortable in this world that we live in. But Peter's addressing them as strangers. You're You're not a citizen here. This is not your home. This is not your final place that where God has for you. He also addresses them as pilgrims, someone who resides in a land that's not their native land. Folks, this world is not our native land. We have an eternal home. Our citizenship is in another place, and yet our flesh gets so comfortable here. You agree with that?
Yeah.
And so I love how he addresses them as strangers. You're a foreigner here. Don't build encampments. This isn't your land. And yet our flesh loves to build encampments. We build little cities and we build little things that are very comfortable to our flesh. But the reality, if you're a believer, we're just simply aliens. We're illegal aliens here. That's certainly a topic that's in the news if you watch the news. But really, that's what we are. We're foreigners in this land. This world is not our home. It's temporal. Folks, do you realize that? Do you go throughout your day really realizing how temporal and fleeting this world is? It's going to be destroyed. And yet we build our cities and we build our encampments and we invest, and it's such a great place for our flesh. But we have to think beyond the here and now. We have to view our lives in the through the lens of eternity. We have a better land that we're going to. And what a good perspective that is. And we have a purpose and a direction from our Creator. And yet we get our eyes down here on this world and focus so much on this world, and we feed our flesh and we build our cities here on this world. But the reality is this is not our home.
That's right.
How foolish it would be if you came over to my house and started building a house on my property. Wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah.
Okay. It wouldn't be welcome. But yet this is not our home. The world is not our home. And God says, you need to invest in eternity. You need to live like where your citizenship is and not here. And yet we often do a lot of building here in this world for ourselves. So what's God's directive for us as pilgrims? Look what he says. The first directive in verse 11 is that we need to abstain. There's an aspect of our citizenship here, or our foreignness here, is that we need to abstain from fleshly lusts. The word abstain means to hold back. You know, a lot of times we think of abstain like I'm going to abstain from alcohol. But here he says abstain from fleshly lust, pretty broad about what he's saying here. So stay away. Don't partake in, hold back from fleshly lusts. And these fleshly lusts are just longings that your flesh has that would be in opposition to God. They could be a good desire if it's within its certain perspective, but if it's in opposition to God, it would be a fleshly desire that we would have to stay away from. These desires are the things that really feed off our most basic fleshly passions. And a lot of times we come to this passage, abstain from fleshly lust, and we automatically think that it's only for like sexual sins or pornography, those kind of things, but it's so much broader than this. It's so much broader than this. Certainly there's the obvious ones like we've talked about, the immorality and stuff like that. But there's things like greed and jealousy and that desire for more. Does your flesh desire more? Have you ever been on the internet, or have you ever been on YouTube? I mean, YouTube is known for this. You know, you start watching, you know, how do I make a bunk bed? And then within 15 minutes, you're watching a purple giraffe, you know, run through the Amazon. Okay? And you know, our flesh always wants more, and we're not content with just what we have. So abstain from fleshly lust. These are certainly obvious ones that we need to stay away from. But I believe what Peter is talking about here, I believe what the Lord is talking about, is that we need to abstain from even those things that feed those passions. Our passions can be fed by the things of this world. And so things like worldly entertainment, that those things feed our flesh, and then our desires get greatly inflated. And so we have these desires for other things because we're constantly being fed by the worldliness around us. And so things like movies, we're being fed the philosophy of the world. And our minds are being filled with not truth from God's word, but we're being filled with the truth of or the falseness of the world around us. Even the music industry is pumping the philosophy of the world into our mind, and our flesh loves it. And our flesh loves it. And so we need to abstain from even those things that feed our passions. Folks, I want to talk about in this area of abstaining from fleshly lusts. I believe that social media is really feeding our fleshly passions. And as I talk with people and as I deal with people, and there are many even in our church that are saying social media is becoming a great hindrance in my walk with God because it is feeding my fleshly passions. And so at best, social media can be a great distraction. And from what I know just by my own experience, and certainly from others too, it's not helping us spiritually. Right. Social media is feeding our fleshly lust. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, there's so much good. I'll just be very honest that the evil far outweighs the good.
Amen.
And we are dealing with this issue boots on the ground. And I'm telling you that guys and ladies are saying that social media is hindering them in their walk with God. And I'm so thankful for those that are coming forward and saying, you know what, this is a great problem in my life and I don't want to have that anymore. But I am telling you, you are playing with fire. You are playing with your fleshly lusts if you don't have your social media guarded. Many are addicted in a great way. And yeah, it's great to see the family pictures and stuff like that. But you have the reels, you have the videos, and all of those things are just feeding our fleshly lusts. And a lot of our young men, a lot of our guys, and I'm talking broadly here, are being defeated in their walk with God because this feeds their fleshly lusts. So many are comparing their lives to others through social media. And they find that they're in this panic because they're not meeting the criteria of others around them. And so their fleshly desires are out of whack. They're getting wrapped up in the drama on social media. And folks, these things are distracting to us. And they're hindering us in our walk with God. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out and delete all your social media accounts. But I'm saying this is part of it. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but I believe that social media at best is a great distraction. The amount of time that people spend on social media, the amount of time I spent, the amount of time you spend, I'm telling you, it is destroying us spiritually. And people are being taught all sorts of things by their friend out in Washington State who owns a little farm somewhere, and they're building these philosophies off of their social media friends instead of the truths of God's word.
Right.
And their flesh is being cultivated by all of the stuff that's on social media. And folks, we need to be aware of that. Okay? And so we need to abstain from those things that feed our passions. The other thing we talk about a lot is video games. And you say, that's not a big thing in my life. I'm telling you, it is a huge, huge issue. And at best, it's a way for your flesh to temporarily escape reality. And so many of the people who are involved, and if you are involved in video games, you know what I'm talking about. It is escape from the reality that you're living in. And these video games are a tool for the devil to infiltrate your mind. It's influencing your mind. And the friends that you're connected with through these video games, They are not spiritually minded friends. And they are destroying us spiritually. And so many of our guys are committing to not be on video games anymore because they see the importance of abstaining from fleshly lusts. And some of you, you know, are thinking of video games like, what's that little one that goes around and chomps? Okay. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? These are realistic can be. And there's shooting and violence and sexual immorality. And it is just destroying us spiritually. And so if you are involved with this, I'm telling you, this is what Peter's talking about. Abstain from that. And parents, if you are allowing your children to be a part of video games, I'm telling you, I can't say this with any more umph. You are destroying your children. You are destroying them if you are like, I do over and over and over and over again. Young men who are being just hindered in their spiritual walk because their parents think it's such a great thing. Oh, they're busy with their Christian friends. Okay, they're not good Christian friends if they're hanging out on video games. They're not doing Bible studies on their video games. Okay, I know it's destroying us spiritually and is destroying young men. And video games is a direct connection to pornography use. And if you think video games are okay, you are totally fooled. And we have guys here that will be happy to share their testimony with you because it is destroying, it was destroying them. And so don't be fooled by video games. It is not an innocent thing that we just do. It's not like Atari or whatever or Pong or it is destroying us. It's highly, highly addictive, and many say that it is more addicting than even drugs. And so for them to get away from video games is very, very difficult. But Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And folks, those two in particular, social media and video games, I'm just telling you from the bottom of my heart that it is destroying us spiritually. And until we get serious about that, the devil's going to have a foothold in your life. And so I would encourage you to rethink whether or not you're dabbling in those areas. And you say, oh, well, Pastor Jay, that's not really, you know, those are things for younger people. Let me share one more that God has really been burdening me with is the news. The news. I am telling you, the news is part of the entertainment industry, and it feeds your fleshly lusts. The news feeds your fleshly desire. Do you know that everything in the news is calculated?
Yes.
Everything in the news is staged. You say, well, I only watch Fox News. Folks, I talked to our guys about this. Do you know that Fox News has been rated number one for the prettiest women for I don't even know how many years? And yet we Christians are like, oh, I love Fox News. Shame on us. Shame on us. It is not feeding us spiritually. It is in the right way. It is feeding us in the wrong way. Fox News does not have your best in mind. They don't. And CNN doesn't. And your other news media things is the same way. They don't have what's best in your best in mind. It's all part of the world's system. And folks, I'm sorry. I am not sorry to offend you in that way. Okay, I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's true, and you know it, that it is not feeding you spiritually. The incessant hours of watching this and our minds being filled with the truth or the false truth or the falseness of the world, it's hindering us spiritually. And you say, well, those guys, you know, those younger guys on social media and those other people on video games, they'll spend 8 hours a day on video games. But hang on. You'll spend 8 hours in front of the TV watching Fox News or CNN or whatever. And it's the same thing. It's infiltrating our minds. And folks, it's propaganda. It's full of the things of this world. It feeds our lust. It feeds our flesh. And it's all of the devil. And you know what we are finding? That there is great anxiety in our midst. You know why? Because of this staged fear that we're being fed by all of these news places. And so it creates a platform for us to be taught and influenced by the world's philosophy. We had several guys here that said, you know what, I'm off news for, you know, however many weeks. And you know what? It was okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The government shut down, and I know some of you were affected by that, and I'm very sorry about that, and that's terrible. But you know what? God's still good. God's still working. Okay? God's still who He said He was. And yet we go through life and we're like, oh my goodness, a snowstorm, it's kind of coming on Tuesday. What are we going to do? Let's go out. And we live in fear, don't we? And it's feeding just our flesh. Our flesh loves that. Oh, I love the drama. Okay. But really it's hindering us spiritually because we're being taught by the world. You know what news creates? It creates a desire to know more about what's going on. Oh, I just want to know what's going on. Okay, so I'm going to watch my local news. Oh, I'm going to watch, whatever news. I just want to know what's going on. I need to know. I want to be in control. If I don't watch the news, I'm going to be out of touch with everything. Folks, do you know that that's not true? If you don't watch the news, you actually probably know better what's going on. Okay, you know what we need? We need to turn from these things that feed our flesh. You probably have a better understanding of what's going on without watching the news. And so Peter tells us that we need to abstain from these things that just feed our desires. And we can get so consumed with news and video games and social media and movies and the world's entertainment where we lose sight of why we're really here.
Amen.
We need less and less of the world. And folks, you know what we need? We need more and more Bible and more Jesus. That's what we need. We need more and more of that. It's so destructive. But notice how destructive it is in verse 11. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Folks, do you know that your fleshly desires, they're waging war against your soul? It's not for you. It hates you. It wants to just do what it wants to do. And it's not concerned about your spiritual well-being. It's not rooting for you saying, you know what, this is going to please God. This is going to build you up spiritually. It's not concerned about that. When you feed your fleshly lusts, you're enabling it to attack your soul. And it causes this great entanglement in our soul. It causes war in your soul. But maybe you say this, well, you know, when I feed the flesh, it just feels right. It doesn't hurt, right? Sin is pleasurable. I mean, have you heard that before? Sin is pleasurable. But we see in Hebrews 11 that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And folks, your flesh isn't concerned about the long-term spiritual effect that social media or video games or the news has on you. But what we're seeing is a great war being waged in our souls. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right. It looks right. It feels right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, folks, the fleshly lusts, they wage war. They wreak havoc on your soul if you just entertain it. It's going to hinder your walk with God. Folks, do you understand that? These fleshly lusts, these desires that we have to continually watch the news or to continually video game or to overindulge in eating or to constantly watch movies, it's just feeding our flesh and it wages war against your soul and it hinders your walk with God. Do you know that what they call this generation? We've talked about this before. They call this generation the anxious generation. And folks, I believe that's because our flesh is being fed so much that we don't fellowship with God and we're kind of islands unto ourselves and we don't have that close warmness with God and therefore we get anxious because we're not close in our relationship with God. And when you feed your flesh, you're going to find that you become apathetic to spiritual things because there's a war going on. You'll find that you're cold in your walk with God. You become critical of other believers. You say things like, oh, that Pastor Jake, he's over, you know, he's really overreacting here. You know, he hit on Fox News. Whoo! Folks, our flesh is so devious. Our flesh is going to, you know, our flesh, if we indulge it, it's just, it hinders our walk with God. You'll find that you're busy in a lot of things, but you feel unfulfilled. Have you been there? Folks, I've been there. Doing a lot of things, busy with a lot of things, you know, have a little social media here, a little news here, a little this, a little that, and I find that my walk with God is cold. Folks, it's because we feed the flesh. It's because I feed the flesh. We need to stop that. We need to stop feeding the flesh. You'll find that as you feed the flesh, you don't want to read your Bible as much. You ever get cold in your Bible reading? I think all of us do, right? You don't want to pray as much. You think the preacher's preaching is boring and, you know, all my problems are the preacher's fault. You think everyone else is the problem. You think all, you know, my church body, they're just so out of touch with reality. They're old fashioned. Hey, no, folks, that's your flesh. That's your flesh talking. And Peter says, God says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Your flesh wants to win. And you keep feeding your flesh. But God says, you know what? You're a stranger here. You're a foreigner. You're a pilgrim here. Stop feeding the fleshly lusts that center around this world. That's where our flesh loves. Loves the things of this world. But we need to abstain from those things. So maybe you'd say, you know, how do I practically abstain from fleshly lust? Now, I only gave just a few examples of things that could feed our passions, our fleshly lust. But there's a whole host of things. But maybe you'd say, how do I practically abstain from fleshly lust when I'm so drawn to these things? It feels like this draw is so strong. Do you have something like that in your life? Maybe I haven't mentioned it. Something where it's like, ooh, you know, if I don't have this today, you know, my flesh is really going to be drawn to that so strong. How do I practically abstain from that, Pastor Jake? Okay, how do I do that? How do I practically abstain from these fleshly lusts? Can you turn over real quick to Galatians 5? Very simple, but very practical. It seems like I just can't resist. Have you ever said that? I just can't resist this. I have to indulge my flesh in this particular area. I could never stop video games. I could never stop social media. I could never live a life without watching movies incessantly or incessantly watching the news. I could never do that. How could I stop indulging my flesh? Look at verse 16 of Galatians 5. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. So how do you abstain from fleshly lust? Folks, what's the answer? Walk in the Spirit. Walk with God's Spirit on a consistent basis. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Jake? Well, if you're a believer, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, what, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So the Spirit of God dwells within you and He leads you and guides you in connection with His Word. So the Spirit of God bears witness to the truth of His Word, and walking in the Spirit is walking in step with His leading according to the truth of God's Word. We could say that it's almost like walking in sync with the Spirit of God. Let's share an illustration. Have you ever rowed a boat before? Mm-hmm. Gone rowing? Okay. When we were growing up, we used to live over on Route 32 over by where the old Beat Brothers used to be. Mm-hmm. And back there, there's a little salt pond in the back. And we had a little aluminum boat. And me and my brothers would go out, but there was, I think, three of us at the time, and sometimes my sister, would want to go rowing. And my brother, you know, was the biggest, then my other brother, and then me. But we would all want to be on an oar. And what we found is that it doesn't work when you have different levels of strength on an oar. They had to be in sync. Both oars need to be in sync. And so as you would row, they'd go in a circle. And or it wouldn't be a very straight line, where the one would have to work really hard to kind of keep things going. A lot of times we think that walking in the Spirit is me on one oar and God on the other. But that's not really the picture. Walking in the Spirit is better pictured how a father would row with his little son or his little daughter. And we've done this before, where I will row and the little one will sit on my lap and have his arms or her arms on both oars also. I'm doing the work. Okay? But the little one's like, look, Dad, I'm doing it. Look, this is great. But that's not the reality, right? Okay? They're just going along with it. They can crank on one all they want, and that might be a little hard for me, but really I'm the one who's setting the pace, and they're just going on. They're in sync with me, and their arms are in sync with mine. And folks, when you walk with God's Spirit, it's similar to that illustration. I know some of you would, you know, pick the illustration apart saying, well, there's, you know. Okay, you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Okay? Walking in the Spirit is being in sync with God's Spirit. God's Spirit does not speak in contradiction to His Word. And so God's Word and God's Spirit will always lead you into truth. And so walking in God's Spirit is being in sync with Him. You're obeying God's Word. You're following His leading. And if you want to abstain from fleshly lusts, then you need to walk with the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you start indulging your flesh, you've jumped out of the boat, okay, in our illustration. Okay, you're doing your own thing. The Spirit of God's saying, come on, let's go here, don't go there. And when we indulge our flesh, we do our own thing. And so if you want to abstain from those fleshly lusts, you need to depend upon the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And you need to follow His Word. And when you do that, when you obey the leading of the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know that you can't live for your flesh and the Spirit of God at the same time. You can't try to live for both, because there's a war that goes on. It entangles your soul. It's a frustrating way to live. Yeah. Folks, do you ever get frustrated and irritable?
Yeah.
It's because you're walking in the flesh. You're not walking with the Spirit of God. And when you find yourself irritable and frustrated, it's because you're indulging your flesh. And folks, God has convicted me greatly on this area, that when I'm irritable or frustrated or miserable, it's not because I'm walking in sync with the Spirit.
Right.
It's because I'm walking in sync with my flesh. So how should we live? Yes, we need to abstain from fleshly lust, but I want you to look further. What does the Christian life look like? Or what are some more directives for us in this passage here? Look at verse 12. So not only do we need to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, but notice the thought continues, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, what he's saying here in the first part of verse 12, the word conversation there literally means your conduct. Now, certainly the things you say are part of your conduct. But when we see the word conversation, we see it like somebody talking or a dialogue of words. But the idea of conversation, the word literally means conduct or your behavior. And so he's telling us that our behavior needs to be, notice the word, honest. Now, we think of the word honest as not truth-telling, but you understand here that the word literally means honorable or excellent. So he's telling us in this very next sentence here that your conduct needs to be honorable or excellent among the Gentiles. And what he's saying here is that your behavior needs to be honorable to your position as a child of the King. Do you know that a child of the King is expected to live a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
The same is true for us as believers. Our conduct, our conversation needs to be honorable as our position as a child of the King. Folks, we can't just live however we want to live. You're either going to please the flesh and the world and the devil, or we're going to please the King. But I want you to notice here in verse 12 that the way we are to live isn't just a way we piously live out in seclusion. It's not that we're supposed to live in this honorable way on top of a mountain or in a monastery or something. Notice the words among the Gentiles. You see that? So you as a believer, your conduct needs to be among the Gentiles, not in seclusion. So it needs to be among your coworkers. The way you live for Christ in an honorable way needs to be before your children and before your family and before your spouse and your friends and your neighbors. When you go to the coffee shop, your conduct as a believer needs to be honorable. So when you go to the coffee shop and maybe they make your drink wrong, you don't toss it back and say, you know, you didn't make my drink right. No, that's not honorable. That's not good conduct for a believer. Maybe go to the grocery store and you treat the grocery person with disdain, or maybe you're rude to them. That's not honorable for a believer. Maybe your children or your family irritate you in some way. It's not honorable for a child of the King to treat them with contempt or rudeness or selfishness. And so we need to abstain from fleshly lust, but we also need to behave ourselves in an honorable way. When you go to work, when you go to school, while you're driving, while you're working, while you're enjoying God's creation. Do you know, even when you go on vacation, you're still a child of the King if you're a believer? And so there's a certain way you need to act and ought to act as a child of the King. So it needs to be, your conduct needs to be known among the Gentiles. But notice in verse 12, also the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall, what's that next word? Behold. It's something they see. Do you see that? So your conduct is, it's done among the unsaved. It's done in this world, but it's something they also see. It's not something that we just live in seclusion. It's our conduct needs to be known to those around us. So they should be able to put the connection between you as a child of the King and your conduct. And so they ought to be able to say, there's something different about this guy. For the good. They should know at work that you're a believer. And they may say things like, that's weird. He smashed his finger with a hammer, but he didn't curse God. Wouldn't you say that would be a good testimony before the lost? Okay. Maybe they would say things like this. He doesn't talk like us, or she doesn't talk like us, but she's sure willing to listen and talk to us about our needs. Isn't that an honorable way for a believer? Okay, it's done among the lost. I don't know why he doesn't drink. I don't know why he doesn't smoke. I don't know why he doesn't talk the way he talks, but he does sure talk a lot about Jesus Christ. And there's got to be a connection there somewhere. And so, folks, that's an honorable way for us to live among the Gentiles. Do you know that the world will never agree with us about the purpose of living, but they know if you're faking? We're expected to live in an honorable way as believers, but our greatest critics are really those who are around us. They know when we're doing something wrong. I've heard unsaved people say, I know, Jake, you wouldn't listen to this kind of music because you're a Christian. I know you wouldn't go to the casino, Jake. I know you. I didn't even invite you to this party because I knew you wouldn't come. Okay, folks, we need to live in an honorable way before those who are lost. And so our conduct needs to be honorable so that they may see our good works and not glorify you, but glorify our Father which is in heaven. And so we could say it this way, that your conduct is connected to your testimony for Christ. The way you live is a testimony for Christ. Now, I don't believe that Peter is arguing here for lifestyle evangelism, and I'm certainly not saying that your conduct is the only testimony to a lost world. But I do believe that what God is teaching here is that our conduct is connected to our testimony to a lost and dying world. Your conduct can affect someone coming to Christ. And it's something that the lost world can behold. It's something that God uses to bring others to Himself. Notice the phrase at the end of verse 12. That although they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they may speak against us as believers, but they will see your good works and somehow glorify God in the day of visitation. What's he talking about? There's some great disagreement as the meaning of this phrase, but I believe this phrase here at the end of verse 12, that they will glorify God in the day of visitation. I believe that the meaning is that it's possible that your conduct may be evil spoken of now, but there's coming a day that some will be converted because of your testimony for Christ. And so I believe there's a day, although they may be speaking evil of you now, and they look at you and you say, "Ah, that's stupid, Jake. Ah, I don't know why you don't talk like us. I don't know why you don't live like us." Okay? They may mock you now. They may speak evil of you now, but there's coming a day where they will glorify God. And I believe that some will be converted because of your testimony for Christ. And so we could say that my conduct is connected to my testimony, which is connected to others' conversion. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my conduct is connected to my testimony, and my testimony is connected to others' conversion. And so what we do has a lot to do with others coming to Christ also. And so when people are converted, they glorify God. And so, folks, holy living isn't about you. Holy living isn't about so others can look at you and say, "I want that kind of life." They need to see your life and your testimony, and they need to know the God that you serve. And so it's all about living this holy calling that God has already planned for us as believers. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So folks, our holy living is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about pointing out His purpose and His plan. And so your life and my life could be a conduit for someone else coming to Christ. And so let me encourage us as we close. Folks, I encourage you, live according to your true citizenship. You're just a foreigner. You're just a stranger. And let your conduct display His purposes. Stop entertaining your flesh. Abstain from fleshly lust. Live for eternity. Maybe there's some out there that are experiencing this war in your soul. Maybe you said, "You know, why am I so anxious? Why am I so not filled with peace? Why don't I have joy?" Stop indulging your flesh. You'll find as you get closer to God, the God of peace will be with you. And He is able to deliver the godly out of temptation. And so stop indulging the flesh. Get to know your God. And you'll find that He's a loving, kind, warm, peace-filled God. So maybe you're always frustrated. I would encourage you to start by looking at your life and ask God and say, "God, are there areas where I'm indulging the flesh?" And when God reveals to you those areas that you're indulging your flesh in, just abstain from those. Walk in the Spirit. And as you walk with the Spirit, you won't indulge the lusts of the flesh. You can live a God-honoring life as a testimony to others around you. So two words I want you to remember: abstain and honorable. We need to abstain from fleshly lust, and then we need to live an honorable way as a child of the King. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for exposing things in my own life that I needed to get right with you. And I do just thank you that you have such a sweet way of helping us to get back in sync with you. I do pray that if there are some here that are experiencing that war of the soul, that they would learn to walk with you and that they would get to know you and walk in sync with your Spirit. And may they walk in faith. May they take steps of faith. May they submit to you. Pray that you would help each of us to draw closer to you. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we are part of your royal family. I do pray that you would help us to live in that reality. Thank you for what you're doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.